co-chair of this committee, but right now she's being detained, so I suggest that we move ahead and at this time we'll have Representative Strobeck come forward and explain what's going on here with the school formula bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Ken Strobeck, State Representative, District 6, and I'm here to tell you what we are proposing that you do in the school distribution formula. As chair of the Revenue Committee, we worked on this in House Bill 2566, which passed both houses of the legislature and was vetoed by the governor. So what we did is we took a look at the areas that were a particular problem to the governor and recrafted those areas into 2567, and working with his staff, we now have agreement on the contents of this particular bill. Basically, all the components of the bill are the same. The important features are, first of all, the ESDs. It brings up the bottom nine ESDs, starts a move toward equalization. Has an additional $4 million in a special grant to the Portland School District. It includes an additional $7 million in the small schools distribution, which helps small high schools, which are not already a part of the small schools portion of the formula. The parts of the bill that was a problem originally had to do with a proposal to add the high growth factor in, and that was the result of a change in our original plan, which was to take the increment financing, leave that with local school districts. That amounted to about $38 million. That was cut down to $19 million. We then proposed $10 million in the high growth factor. That was also the part of the bill that the governor objected to. So we've reconfigured that. Based on the comments of people who were critical of that section, they said, well, the new facility grant should be the place where that goes. That should be the way you take care of growth, should be through the new facility grant. So what we propose in 2567 is to have the new facility grant go from 6% to 8%. That uses about $4.4 million, and then the other $5.6 million would go back through the balance of the distribution formula and go to all the other school districts in the state on a regular formula basis. That really is the only substantial change in the bill. There's another provision that had to do with school districts borrowing or essentially being able to apply for the second year. We took that out and limited that only to the Portland school district since they were the ones that needed that mostly. And that's the essential changes in the bill. I urge your swift passage.
Okay. Questions? Oh, it's too easy. Only Ways and Means usually doesn't hear this.
That's right. That's why I'm
a little bit
to present it to you.
I thought Representative Wexler would come up with a good question here. Representative Wexler.
Based on my strong and deep belief in procedure and protocol, I would remind the co-chair that we are under a call. So I am asking for the committee to heed your words and representative's words and go for a swift passage.
I think that, Madam Chair, I would really request that we be excused so that, because otherwise we're going to be jumping up and running out. We cannot understand what the explanations are if we have to jump up and run out.
Correct.
Let's see. Co-Chair Lewis, I agree. We can find out if you can get a consensus on the call. We'll also
Sure. Move in. Senator. I got the idea that we need to move rapidly on this. I just was wondering if the new way of doing it affects the amount of money going into the formula for distribution.
Yes, Senator, it does. It affects it and increases it by about $5.5 million statewide.
Thank you.
Okay. We're currently in a hearing, and I haven't moved this into a work session. I think we should move it into a work session. Move House Bill 2567 into a work session. Okay, go ahead, Representative Ross. You got a question?
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the Dash 5 amendment.
It's been moved by Representative Ross that we adopt the Dash 5 amendment. Any discussion? Pro-Chair Lewis.
Since I missed Representative Strobeck's presentation, and I apologize for missing that, I just want to hear from Representative Strobeck that as far as he knows, the Dash 5 amendments are his, are as he understood them to be and are correct.
Madam Co-Chair, that is correct. I've worked with the staff in the Revenue Office as well as with Legislative Council to go over and over the details in the amendments, and I'm satisfied that they are the essence of what we requested in revising House Bill 2566, which I originally supported, but I'm recognizing that sometimes you have to make a change.
Okay. Further questions?
Sure.
This may be for Mr. Glacken. The Dash 5 amendments, does this make an appropriate, does this make any appropriations as the old Bill 2566 did?
Representative Lewis, it does. It appropriates $150,000 general fund to the Department of Education for a study on ESDs, and it also appropriates $4 million for urban enhancement grants.
And everything else, the other, all the rest of the money is,
for the bill that will adjust the C18.
Okay.
And the new, through the new enhancement grant, the new facility grant, is the one that you raised from 68%.
Right. We capped that also, Senator. Capped it at $17.5 million for the biennial.
And that new facility grant is available to all school districts. What are the parameters around that?
Mr. Co-Chair, the parameters around that are any district that builds a new building that then files the amount of that building with the Department of Education, the year that that building comes online, they're eligible to receive a grant of, in this case, 8% of the total cost of the construction of that building.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions? Representative Wesley.
Up to a total of $17.5 million per building, or that's the total amount of the fund?
That's the total amount of the fund for the new facility grant for the entire biennium.
Okay.
So it's a first-come, first-served basis.
Well, the department understands and already has on record who has done what buildings and how much that will be, and so 8% for the biennium matches the $17.5 million a year.
Okay. Representative Ross, did you move the House Bill?
I moved the Dash 5, and I will now erase it. Did we?
Okay, we'll vote on that first. House Bill 2567-5. Is there any more discussion? Okay. Are there any no votes on accepting House Bill 2567-5? There are no votes. It's so passed. It is, and now we have 2567 in front of us as amended by House Bill 2567-5.
Okay, Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 2567 as amended.
Okay.
To the full committee with a due hast with recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Ross. Been moved that House Bill 2567 as amended is moved to the full committee. Is there any discussion? Are there any no votes? Hearing none and seeing none.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for great work on that. Senate Bill 5063. Okay, we're going to get this right.
And we're going to get the paperwork here, huh?
We'll see what we're working on.
Okay, hearing on House Bill 5063. We'll call it into work session. Sheila?
Okay, House Bill 5063 is the new budget bill for Department of Human Resources. The governor vetoed House Bill 5029, which was the original bill that came out. This bill includes that budget with the additions that I've listed there. The health plan coverage for Pell Grant eligible students is restored. Non-reimbursable services that were reduced in House Bill 5029 are restored. Safety net clinics will get $1 million more. School-based clinics, the AIDS hotline, and the Office of Multicultural Health and the Health Division will get funding. In mental health, there will be additional $2 million in additional general fund for residential treatment and foster care capacity, and $1 million for services to medically fragile children. Oregon Project Independence will get $1 million, and the AAAs, the Area Agencies on Aging, will get an additional $2 million appropriation in the Senior and Disabled Services Division. And then there is $100,000 general fund for pain management advocate position in the director's office. The bill also establishes a special purpose appropriation for the director's office for provider wages. The departments to come back to the emergency board and indicate how they believe that money should be divided up. And then I have attached a summary of the department's budget. These adjustments, so you can see in each cluster area the adjustments that were made both by the Human Resources Subcommittee and then the ones that are proposed here. It's a $2,219,124,347 general fund appropriation, and then a total fund of $7.3 billion. And then I've also noted the special purpose appropriations to the emergency board that are included in this bill.
Thank you, Sheila. Co-chair Lewis.
Thank you, Co-chair. I would move the ask to amendments to House Bill 5063, which overall provides a general fund appropriation of $2,219,124,347 and an overall total fund of $7,348,160,822 all funds.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Lewis. Representative Ross.
Thank you. I'm acquainted with most of these items, but I was not acquainted with the pain management advocate. We just have a very brief explanation of what that's supposed to accomplish. And so what's it supposed to accomplish? And so we did not hear about that in Human Resources Sub.
No, I don't know the details of it, but I know that it was part of the negotiated package, and the governor agreed to add this based on the recommendation of the Senate. And I think Senator Dukes is very strong on it. I think it does with pain management. I don't know the details of it, but I think we agreed to this, and it ought to stay there.
Okay.
And just so I'm clear, is this part of OMAP's office, and would they be trying to assist alternative methods to the death with dying? What is the purpose? I'm just trying to get a purpose. Very, very clear.
Mr. Co-Chair?
Yeah.
I could respond to that briefly, and maybe Senator Scutow could respond to it. I did discuss Senator Duke's bill with her, and I asked that question, whether this was for people who were at their end of life. And she said, no, this was more chronic pain, people who chronically have pain. This was my understanding.
Right. That was my understanding as well.
Okay, further questions? Representative Weston.
English co-chair. Question staff, Sheila, are any of these amounts listed in Section 5 reservations to the e-board, or are these outright fundings?
Page for the bill, Section 5, all of those are outright fundings. There are no reservations per se to the emergency board for the Department of Human Resources. There are three special purpose appropriations where money has been appropriated for that purpose, and those are listed on the bottom of the budget summary. The $1.8 million for provider wages, $131,000 for a teen pregnancy prevention media campaign, and $151,000 for an abstinence-based education program.
And we do discuss those in subcommittee.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sure.
Thank you. Senator.
Could I ask Sheila where the student health insurance is? Is it in this budget?
Yes. The Pell Grant eligible students, because that was a restoration of a continuing program, that's not in that Section 5 individual line item. It's included in Section 1, the total amount for the OMAP health plan services, and then the federal funds are included in Section 3, the federal funds for the OMAP health plan services.
Thank you, Sheila.
Okay. Further questions?
Yes. I'd like to...
Senator Shupa.
Thank you. I had a question about the contract wages, and those are being appropriated to the e-board, and these will go to whom?
The initial discussion was that in the Mental Health and Developmental Disabilities Division, there's interest in funding additional provider wages for the developmentally disabled community-based caregivers. There was also some testimony on the disparity in wages between the mental health providers and the developmental disabled service providers. And so the idea of putting it in the emergency board is to have the department come back and talk about what's the best way to spread that money to address the equity issues and the recruitment and retention issues that are there in their programs. So it's not specified for one particular provider.
And so they will come with a plan of how to distribute this money.
Yes,
that's how they decided. I'd like to know, Mr. Co-Chair, an explanation of the written amendments here. Can you enlighten us into, I see the lines of money. I'd like to know what these written amendments mean.
All right.
Written amendments under what section?
Every one of them.
Okay.
Well, first time I've looked at the bill.
So I'm asking staff, assuming.
Do you want to begin after the appropriations? That would begin on Section 6, page 6 of the bill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Section 6 just establishes non-limited expenditures for the Women, Infant, and Children Program, federal food stamp benefit payments, and the CHIP, Community Health Insurance Program reimbursable drug purchases. So those are off-budget, if you will, items, although if you look at the budget summary that's attached, they have estimated an amount for those non-limited items. There's $30 million other funds non-limited and $480 million federal funds non-limited.
Why was this not in the original budget?
It was in the original.
Why does it have to appear in this budget, in this amendment?
This particular section... was listed from House Bill 5029. It was in the original budget language.
Okay. I just need help understanding why it is we're lifting some language and putting it into this amendment.
Chair, I think I could help with that. 5063 was probably a blank appropriation bill, and we essentially are recreating 5029 with some exceptions in 5063. So everything that was in 5029 that has been agreed to with the governor has to be here in the draft to amend 5063. Whether that's
so, 5029 essentially no longer exists.
It was vacant.
And 5063 is a replacement for 5029.
Yes.
Okay. Further questions? have a motion for us to accept the amendments of 50632 to also 5063. Are there any no votes?
Yes.
Senator Q-Tub, let the record show that Senator Q-Tub is a no vote.
Mr. Chair, if I could comment on that no vote.
Sure.
I just want to say there are many good things that are added back into this budget, and I'm thankful for the people that will be able to be advantaged by the add back. There are some that I cannot. I think it was good that we had the discussion. I think it's too bad that they didn't stay and that they are so high on an agenda that they need to go back in. But I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed that we've had to redo the entire bill in 7 months of work.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for all your work that you put in on the resource plan.
Mr. Chair, yeah. I just had one comment about that. This is with the exception of the ads that are shown on Council's recommendation. So this is the budget that we did pass out with some notable exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, am distressed about that. I'm going to move the bill through committee that I made a no vote on it for. I agree with the ads that are in here. There are many, many programs that are very important. The area agencies on aging definitely had a problem. I still think that our budget note, we still didn't want to have the budget note in the budget report that does look at some of the accountability issues with regards to food stamp error rates. I think that's important. Even though we are providing them some funding. I certainly highly approve of the increase to Oregon Project Independence. Many of these things are things that we just didn't have the money to fund, and I'm particularly grateful to see the funding for the medically fragile children.
Mm-hmm.
The previous bill we did only had $250,000, which was purported to serve maybe 3 to 5 families, so this will serve probably 12 to 15 families, somewhere in that range. So I'm, very happy to see that. And I, too, am sorry. I was very supportive of the original budget, and I, too, am sorry to see some of the changes that have been made.
But that does, Mr. Chair, bring up another question, and that is, what about the budget notes and the budget narrative that went with the original budget?
Those will be coming to us at full committee. It's just
And will they be housed in this new bill? The same?
Yeah. I think so. I think
it's all in the budget.
It was just the form of 5029.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion in front of us to approve the amendments. And are there any no votes? Did we do the amendments? I'm sorry. Did we do the amendments? Okay, you should listen. Okay, we did the amendment. Plus, if there's a motion now that House Bill 5063 as amended be moved to the full committee. Discussion?
I just want to make a brief comment. I wanted to express my appreciation to Chair Q-Tub for the work that you did in the subcommittee, and I found it very interesting and informative. And I appreciate the long testimony that she allowed from citizens talking about different aspects of the Department of Human Resources. It's a long and complicated process, and although certainly every member of the committee has their own views about individual items, I did want to just say that publicly really appreciated that. And although there are individual items that I understand that the chair doesn't agree with, I think that the overall budget is a very fine work and it's to her credit.
I have one further question.
Mm-hmm.
Are there changes in the Health Division budget?
The changes in the Health Division budget
are just those that you have noted?
The school-based clinics, the ACE hotline, and the Office of Multicultural Health. And then there's the Emergency Board Special Purpose Appropriations that were included in House Bill 5029.
Okay.
But these are the only changes to the health division.
Thank you.
Okay, we have a motion in front of us. Are there any, there's one vote, no vote, Senator Tutub, any further no vote? Okay, it's passed to the full committee. Next bill up, carriers.
Representative Ross, would you carry the poll on
the... Mm-hmm. Okay, Senator Troll on the Senate side and Representative Ross on the side. Mm-hmm. What are we doing next? So, 60. Senate Bill 60.
We're almost done.
Okay, come to order here. Senate Bill 60, Robin.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, what you have in front of you is the AM Growth Senate Bill 60. This bill allows the establishment of family court advocate programs in counties designated by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and makes some other enabling changes in the law having to do with family court. It is straightforward. There is no fiscal impact. The Judicial Department's budget included a provision for $1,050,000 to be reserved in the emergency funds for family court and drug court programs. Therefore, no additional appropriation is needed.
We are told that we need to go before the Senate.
Mr. Co-Chair, I would like to move Senate Bill 60 and Growth to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Representative Lua. Is there any discussion? If not, Senate Bill 60 and Growth is moved to the full committee. There ain't no votes. Are we all right on that, Robin?
Yes.
That was
the
due pass recommendation. Oh, we haven't been saying that.
Yes, you did.
We did. Good.
We did.
Okay.
Has Representative Westland carried to what Representative Westland?
Please.
Westland carried to Paul and on the House floor and I believe we'll sign Senator Bryant. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. How are we going to get back together here? We got the big bill, yeah, 6511. So we will go to the floor and see what's back.
Just come through the side hall, grab it, and we'll come down.
Staff will have to let us know.
No. Madam Chair, we had talked, we were down to the judicial budget note. There are a couple of budget notes there that give the first one direction with respect to the statewide interpreter certification program. The second one is one that is unrelated to this bill, actually, but is a budget note that has to do with, and Robin is not here, so I can't ask her the name of the bill, but I think it is there. Their judicial budget bill that had to do with some pro tem judges, and there is a paragraph and will be a paragraph in the budget report related to that, and this is a budget note accompanying that paragraph.
Did you say Robin's on here? Does anybody know what this is about? What this budget note is?
Maybe she'll be back.
Okay, why don't we go going to the other one?
Yeah. Then the next one is a budget note related to the Department of Transportation that deals with the $15 million. The emergency board shall allocate special purpose appropriation at the first emergency board appearance.
by the Oregon Department of Transportation following determination of the status of Senate Bill 1284. The Oregon Department of Transportation shall also request the federal funds expenditure limitation necessary to carry out the Willamette Valley Rail Program. If Senate Bill 1284 becomes law, then $15 million will be allocated by the Emergency Board to the State School Fund to complete the legislative K-12 funding package. If the monies are allocated to the Department of Transportation, lottery bond proceeds will complete the legislative K-12 funding. This is a budget note to clarify that issue. Then there is a budget note related to the $5 million that goes to the Department of Revenue. This indicates how that $5 million will be spent. $2.5 million in three equal parts in the first year of the first fiscal year, $2.5 million in four equal parts in the second fiscal year, and all the distributions made at the same manner as other funds in the account are distributed, and the amount appropriated under this section, namely the $5 million, not to be used by the Department for expenses under 2-6 of Chapter 796 Oregon Laws 1989. And I see that our analyst is not here to explain what those are. So I'm getting lots of support here for the Department's secondary industrial property appraisal expenses.
I think, is this the $5 million going to
be? Yes. Yes. Right. And it tightens up the uses on that money. The next budget note is a budget note related to, that fits in with the narrative about the BOLI budget. The labor ministry is directed to develop future budget proposals that do not include or depend on revenues out of the workers' benefit fund.
Okay, Madam Chair.
Yes, President Long.
So the expectation is that the workers' benefit fund in the future will no longer be used to support their civil rights actions.
That's correct. That's the expectation in this session also, but unfortunately that's not what happened. So
okay. People can we still do better.
That's why we're putting in budget note.
Okay, thank you.
And this last budget note that is on this list, I'm not sure is intended, I have to confess, to be a budget note or not. That looks more like a budget narrative to me, and so I think I would strike that as a budget note. I think that was not a budget note. It's just a narrative explanation of the $600,000.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the budget note.
Thank you. Now, Senator, does that include the natural resource ones?
Did we not get to it? I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that's another.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Okay. I thought we were done with it.
Okay. Robin is here now. She might explain the department, the Judicial Department budget notes.
Just briefly, the second judicial notes that had to do with pro tem judges.
Why the pro tem judges?
Co-chairs, members of the committee. The budget bill for the Judicial Department appropriated a dollar to the Emergency Board and directed the Chief Justice to come back with a prioritized listing of his pro tem request and identify the cost and request any additional resources that he believed was necessary at the time that he did that prioritized ranking. The budget note deals with that direction in their budget bill and asks that the Chief Justice not reallocate or reassign existing programs until that prioritized ranking has been done and the costs have been identified.
Let me just follow up one more thing. Is in the budget narrative or in some place else, is there an understanding about when they are going to report to the emergency board?
It does.
An expectation of timeline.
Representative Ross, the budget report did not specify when the Chief Justice works to do that.
Okay, thanks.
Natural resource budget note.
These budget notes, and Ken Rocco is here to explain them, but these budget notes are the budget notes that have been worked out between the executive department, the governor's office, and our staff as mutually agreeable budget notes to accompany the sections that deal with appropriations, the appropriation to the Department of Environmental Quality, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. And in general, what these budget notes do is lay out how these dollars will be spent and provide some direction on the uses of the dollars.
Senator Charlie, you still want to make your motion?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Move approval of these budget notes.
Thank you. Senator Charlie moves approval of the budget notes. Is there any discussion? I assume, Senator Charlie, you were also agreeing that the one that the Department of State Police should work on the budget.
I think we'll accept that.
Okay. Is hearing no discussion, are there any objections to approval of the budget notes? Hearing none, the budget notes are approved. Now I just need a motion to move the budget to full committee.
Madam Chair, I'd move 5511 as amended to full committee with a due path recommendation along with the budget.
Thank you. Pro Tem Sims has moved Senate Bill 5511 as amended by the DAS 12 amendment. And including the budget notes that you just approved, the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Okay, hearing and seeing none. Are there any no votes on moving Senate Bill 5511 with a due pass? Hearing and seeing none. Senate Bill 5511 is moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. And is there any other business to come before discussion? No?
No.
No? Oh, great, great. Okay.
Hey. I haven't even seen your agenda.
Well, I think that's there any other thing to do here?
Pretty mirrors.
It's all done.
None of us think we're all done. We are adjourned.